Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love the cooler weather and opening all the windows at night. And the other morning it was really cold, but that's pretty nice. I love the fall. That's why I asked my mom to be born in the fall. I was born on September 21st, the first day of fall that year, but this year it was the 22nd, so I couldn't celebrate that. But what a great day. What a beautiful, beautiful day. Think about Paul for a second. And Lori, she really nailed it today with what she said. Paul was a Christian hater. He had them killed. I mean, Paul hated Christians. And then that dramatic conversion where he was blinded, knocked off his horse, God spoke to him. Why do you persecute me? And Paul had a conversion. But then what did Jesus say to him and the disciples in the garden? I mean, when they were talking, he said, I'm leaving. Jesus told him, I'm leaving. This is on you now. You have to go out, spread the word, tell people what I've done. Tell people that I gave up my life to come here and give my life for you so that you could have that relationship with God the Father, the Creator, once again. Paul's journeys, as we have seen, have taken him in so many different areas and places. And up to this point in Paul's journeys, what was the biggest obstacle that he faced in these journeys? What was the biggest obstacle he faced? Was it a lack of food? No, he had food. Was it sickness? No, Paul wasn't sick. Was it lack of money? No, it wasn't lack of money. It was other Jews, his fellow Jews. They failed to accept the scriptures and the historic events that were actually taught in the synagogues. People that should know the truth, but chose to ignore it. His opposition came in the form of lies and hatred, hatred of the truth. People were lied to and deceived, which brought about evil actions. Lies always bring about evil actions. We have a little thing, I coined this several years ago now, is that hate makes you stupid. And it does, because you lose the ability to reason when you hate. And these people hated Paul. Now, he went, where did he, every city he went to, where did he go?
The synagogue.
The synagogue. And what do they teach in the synagogue? What do they teach in the synagogue? The law. The way that they teach the word that God gave them. And God's word was very clear. He said, I will send a Savior. I'll send somebody that's going to rescue you from your sin and create that relationship with God the Father so that you can know him intimately without going through the temple. That's why the curtain was rent from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. He finished that. He said, you now have access to me without going into the temple. It's through Jesus who gave his life, who died, paid your price, and now lives and rose from the dead. And you have that to fall back on because you know him. That's all Paul tried to do, was tell that story. But he did it very well. Verses 1 through 3. But there were also, I mean, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, lies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories, lies. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. The Bible's full of, the New Testament especially, of warnings that tell us, beware of lies and deception. What is Satan known as? The father of lies. And he hates Jesus. 1-9 of Acts 21, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Cos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board, and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. And obviously that cargo was Goodyear tires, because they went to Tyre. But where our ship, and they unloaded its cargo. We sought out the disciples. I want you to think about that. We sought out the disciples and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed in Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters. Here we go again. They greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea, and what does it say? Stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters and who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people were there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is quite a bit of words here, but he's gone to three different places now. But here, this guy comes up and he says, Agabus comes up and says, "You're going to get bound." How does he know that? Well, he's a prophet. Now, how did they know they could trust this prophet? Anybody want to take a stab at that? How do you know you can trust a prophet? What was the key evidence that caused people to believe and trust the...
If what he says comes true?
Exactly right. Thank you, Paula. Every prophet, if he's a true prophet, what he says comes true. Prophets were always judged by the consistency of their message with Scripture. A true prophet was always judged by the accuracy of their message. Prophets were under a magnifying glass. If their prophecies came true, the people would trust future prophecies as the truth and coming from God. If their prophecies didn't come true, wow, that's a disaster. You're no longer a prophet, and you can't be trusted. Don't we do that today? You know people that lie? Do you trust them? Your word, that's the ultimate. If you can't stand on your word, you can't be trusted. Same thing with a prophet. If a prophet's words didn't come true, and they weren't from Scripture, they couldn't be trusted, so why believe him? They could believe this guy because he obviously, Agabus, obviously had a record. of prophesying, and those prophecies came true, so they could trust it. And that scared them. The people were all, they were afraid for Paul. Didn't want him to go. Let's continue on in 13 through 16. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we started on our way up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home, another place, home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. Paul's journeys were laid out for him by who? The Holy Spirit. Paul didn't sit down with a map and start, you know, say, "Well, I think I'd like to go here. I'll visit these people. Oh, I'll go visit these people." No, the Holy Spirit led him to wherever he went, gave him the plan to follow, and Paul followed it. You think Paul could trust that? Knocked off a horse, blinded. Yeah, I think Paul could trust that. He knew the hand of God. Even though he was facing certain persecution and even death, he maintained a positive attitude and pushed on with his God-given mission. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than living the life that God has instructed us to live. Where is that manual of instructions found? The Holy Word of God, written by none other than Jesus himself. If we read his word, we are being spoken to by him. Just like the people of that day, we have read about that we've already seen in that day, he gives us the instructions needed to live our lives. And it's in his word. It's Jesus actually literally speaking to us through his word. Where does Jesus live? Where is his spirit? It's in us. It's in our heart. It's in our mind. He fills us. And he speaks to us and teaches us what to do and how to live. And if we read God's word, Jesus' writings, we'll know exactly what he has for us to do. And we need to follow that. Verses 17 through 26, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed. All of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, and from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality." The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end, and the offering would be made for each of them. Now, this goes back a few chapters where Paul was willing to say, "I am about, especially circumcision, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, as long as it's within the will of God, so that I can prove to you that I am not ridiculing the law. I am not belittling what God gave us as Jews. But I'm saying, let's consider that when we make our decisions. Let's consider that God did that and gave that to us for a purpose, for a reason, to show us that we could not live according to that law. We could not meet up to God's standard. And then Jesus showed up. And what did he do? He said, you can't do this. We're always being told we can't do this because we are human beings and we're affected by sin. And that sin separates us from God. The only way to get back to that relationship with God is through what he did at the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid our price, but he died, most important though, he rose again to life that we have in him if we trust and believe. That's what we need to do. Here we have a great example of how damaging lies can be, but also the influence that they have on people. These people they were really upset because they were told that Paul wasn't living by the Jewish standards. And he was, in fact, instructing people not to follow the standards, so far as to say Moses was a bad guy. No. These are lies. They're just downright lies. This is, with no question, a ploy of Satan himself trying to damage and discredit Jesus. And as the messenger of Jesus, Paul, we face Satan's lies every day. We read that in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. There will be many false prophets among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Lies are just terrible. Paul once again is faced with going the extra mile by falling back on the old Jewish purification rituals. As a Jew, the people will realize, just as verse 24 states, that there is no truth in the reports of what they're hearing about Paul. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Boy, did Paul meet that? He did. He did whatever he had to do to show people that I am God's child, I am God's servant. He's using me to show you the person of Jesus. Now, where did he go? I'll ask that question again. When he went to these cities, where did he go? He went to the synagogues. Now, what? We have church after church after church after church after church, just in Muskegon alone. Are they all preaching and teaching that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead to save them from their sins? No. I'm going to tell you, they're not. Not all of them, but we have a mission right in our own churches. I know people that go to Christian churches, and I confront them with things that they say and believe, what they say they believe. My first question is, do you believe in God? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, if he really is God, what does that mean about him? He can do anything. He can do anything. If he's truly God, he can do anything. Can he send a Savior? Yeah. Can he raise him from the dead? Yeah. Can he put Jonah into the belly of a great fish and then spew him out on the land because Jonah wouldn't listen to what Jesus wanted him to do? Yeah, he can do that. Well, you just, in your own words, say, those are just stories. They're made up stories. You can't believe that they're made up stories if you truly believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It can't happen. And you know what? They get angry with me when I say that, because I'm calling them out. And I'm calling them out in the Word of God, in Jesus' own words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he said, every word I have written in here, don't change it. Not one little period or a jot. Don't change it, because you're going to be guilty of distorting my words when people need to hear the truth. We need to share the truth. We really need to share the truth. Acts 21, 27 through 36. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone, everywhere, against our people and our law and this place, the temple. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." They had previously slain Trophimus and the Ephesian in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. I'm going to stop there. They assumed. Because of what they heard, they assumed that Paul brought this guy in. No, that guy was there on his own accord. He wanted to hear the truth. He was there trying to find out the truth. But he was a Greek, Gentile. I mean, hey, these people are, they're not Jews, they're filthy. Why bring them in? Well, go back a ways. What did Paul teach these people? That Jesus, Jesus is covering that relationship between you and God for everyone, not just the Jews. And he taught that over and over and over again, and they kept, forgetting. They chose to not believe that. Even though Paul proved it, they chose not to believe it, and they lied about him. And they did it again here. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. They were upset. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. See, why did they shut the gates when they dragged him from the temple? Why did the temple gates shut? Think about that. I love these little comments that Scripture has in them. Why did they shut the gates of the temple when they dragged Paul out? Because the truth was not being told in the temple. And they knew they were in trouble because Paul had the truth and the temple was not teaching the truth. The gates were closed and they didn't want to hear the truth. They did not want anything to do with the true truth about Jesus Christ. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. That was good. The commander came up and arrested Paul and ordered him to be bound with two chains. That's not good. Then he asked who he was. He didn't ask Paul, "Who are you?" He asked the people. Get this. He asked the people, "Who is this guy?" Why did he want to know that? Well, they're rioting about this man. So he wanted to know. He asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing, and some shouted another. And since the commander could not get to the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. Barracks was kind of a jail. It wasn't a prison. It was like a jail. But I want to go back a little bit here on some in the crowd shouted one thing, and some in the crowd shouted another. They can't even make up their mind. What's the old saying about a lie? If you tell a lie, you have to, it's not the truth, so it's hard to remember. So when it comes up again, you gotta, and then you tell another lie, and then another lie. You can't even make up your mind about what a lie brings about. The truth is always the truth. It's always true. It's easy to remember because it's true. Were you there that night? I don't want him to know I was there. No, I went to my mother's house. week later. Were you there at that thing? No, I was downtown. I said I was at my mother. I'm sorry, I was, you know, you get caught in lies because Satan is the father of lies and he wants us to spread lies, especially when it comes to Jesus. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another, and since the commander could not get at the truth, he ordered Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul, that was for his protection, by the way. They weren't arresting him at that point. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him!" What does this remind you of? Jesus. Crucify him! He's telling us the truth. And we don't like that. Because it tells us that we're bad. We're sinners. We're separated from God. We don't want to hear that. But if you don't hear it, how are you going to know that you need Jesus? If you don't hear it. And if we don't... the verse is skipping me. It's right on the tip of my tongue. About teaching the word. If they don't hear you teach the word, who's going to tell them? It's got to be us. And it has to be pure, simple, clean, and in prayer. Because God, Jesus in us, will convey his message to whoever we're talking to. Paul, back a chapter or two ago, said, "The blood's on your heads. I'm leaving. I've told you the truth. Now, the responsibility's on you if you don't accept it." Basically saying, you're condemned. You're going to hell if you don't start listening to the truth. And he said, "I'm leaving. Now it's on you." God only asks us to talk about it. Tell the story about Jesus. Again, with lies and more lies, Jesus spoke the following words. But as an emphasis, let's put Paul's name at the beginning of verse 27.
And the next passage, right?
What was that?
You're putting his name into that next passage that you're going to read, right?
Right, right. Okay. Paul's name at the beginning of verse 27.
42.
And changed love to listen. Jesus said to them, instead say, Paul said to them, if God were your father, you would love Jesus. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires, the devil's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Do you feel like that? We tell the truth, and people don't want to believe it. Jesus is the only... How many times have you heard, "Oh, you can't say that. He's the only way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. By no other name can you be saved but by Jesus." And you say that and say, no, wait a minute. You're leaving out the Muslims and the... Yeah, we are leaving them out, just like Paul did. Either you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ or you're lost for eternity. That's all there is to it. That's a simple message. But boy, what a terrible message to hear if you're not a believer. But we need to share that message. Let Jesus do the work. God will get that accomplished when he's ready to. I put in here some points to ponder, and I'm asking here, what are some obstacles you face when talking about your faith? You don't have to do that today. But I would encourage you to take that this week. What are some obstacles that you face? Is it fear? Well, I mean, whatever it might be, but write those in and do like Greg said, put it on your television set or your refrigerator so that you can remember what you wrote. Because with those, I would like everybody to read those and talk to God about it. Talk to Jesus about it. Jesus, whatever this is that's an obstacle for me talking to other people, help me with it. Help me know Scripture better. Help me know the story of Jesus. Help me to not hate people. Help me to tell the truth. I mean, it's whatever it takes, let Jesus do the work. When we speak to people about Jesus, do they believe what we say? Have we been shown honorable? Have we shown people that we live by the example that we're trying to tell them to live by? That's a big deal. Have we lived such a life that they see our good deeds and glorify God? Do we know the story of Jesus enough to clearly share it with other people? Verses 37, 8, 9, and 40, I didn't include today. That's going to be on the next speaker. Because I said stay tuned for the rest of the story, which will take place next week, because that really, it should have been in the next chapter. So we're going to finish it today with the fact that we have an obligation. Every time Paul went someplace, he went to this place where the lies were being told. He confronted the lies. Who was there telling the lies? Satan. Through people, of course. But he went to the place where the lies were being told. People in the world have been lied to. They get lied to by the media. They get lied to by television shows, by the radio. They get lied to by advertising, by billboards. They get lied to, lied to, lied to, lied to. And you know what? The majority of that that's being put in our face every day, it's not coming from God. In fact, it's going against God. And we're seeing the result of it in our society. So we're faced with a huge task. God is the only one that can share that message, but he needs us to be the amplifier to spread it into the world. Jesus, you have given us so much power in our message because it's your message, because you live in us. Whatever our obstacles are, give us your peace, your grace, your confidence, most of all, your word and your love for other people. Then we'll watch you do the work, and we'll see people come to know you as their Savior. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.